This is NPR.
All is lost here, except for soul and body.
Robert Redford performs solo in his latest film, All is Lost, which is now on DVD. On the next Fresh Air, Redford talks about that film and about growing up and his early acting career. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Support comes from Canyon Hydro, with custom hydro system designs, complete water-to-wire packages, and repair and replacement services for public and private hydro systems. Serving small communities since 1976. More information available at canyonhydro.com.
Our December Writers Showcase was a success, and now we are accepting submissions for our March 6th show. Our spring-inspired theme is Awakenings. If you have a piece, know of a piece, or want to compose a short story or essay that is between 5 and 12 minutes long, please contact us at arts@ktoo.org. The deadline for submissions is February 14th. Check out the Writer Showcase page at 360north.org for more information.
Welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, February 13th, just one day before Valentine's Day. My name is Shona. We have a great, great show lined up for you today. I'm really excited about who's on air. We'll talk to Deidre Durr from about Friday's Mardi Gras Masquerade Gala benefit for the Shrine of St. Therese. We'll get a preview of tonight's show at Rockwell by the Young Dubliners. That'll be awesome. Darren Snyder will be here to highlight the upcoming Master Gardener class. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, as she is every week. Writer's Almanac, more here on Juno Afternoon on Thursday, February 13th. Before we get started with our first guest, here is National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A South Dakota legislative committee has advanced a bill to promote economic development for Native Americans. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
State Representative Don Hager of Sioux Falls testified Tuesday before the House Taxation Committee. Hager says conditions won't improve for tribes until someone kickstarts opportunities on the state's reservations.
One of the barriers to economic development in the reservations in Indian country is the lack of a uniform commercial code. Some of the tribes have adopted one, some have not. And so that's a barrier. And if we can come to some agreement with some of the different tribes, as many as possible, obviously, that is going to remove an obstacle to development. We have property rights issues. That's a second one. So in other words, if I'm an investor and I'm going to make improvements on real estate, I want to make sure that we that those improvements, that investment is secure.
An amended version of the measure allows tribes to apply for funding through the state's Building South Dakota program. It also creates a task force to look at issues hampering economic development on reservations. The bill passed unanimously. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
An Oklahoma tribe will get federal funds to help pay for its tribal college. KGOU's Kirk Gortney reports.
The U.S. Bureau of Indian Education authorized the funding for the College of the Muscogee Nation in Okmulgee this week. The Muscogee Creek Nation first sought the funding this spring as a tribal college under the Tribally Controlled Colleges and Universities Assistance Act of 1978. Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs Kevin Washburn said the U.S. Department of the Interior is pleased to support the quest of the college to become an independent institution of higher learning. The college was founded in 2004 to meet the Muscogee Creek Nation citizens' need for quality higher education that also embodies tribal culture, language, and history. Its primary source of funding is the Muscogee Nation. The college awards associate degrees in gaming, Native American studies, police science, and tribal services. It also offers two certificate programs in gaming and tribal language studies. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney.
A Kids Count report shows about two-thirds of Native American students are not reading proficiently by the fourth grade. Reporter Carrie Young has more.
Reading proficiency is a national problem. However, the report shows that some of the largest reading disparities exist by race, with Black, Hispanic, and Native American populations faring the worst. Veronica Garcia is the executive director of New Mexico Voices for Children. She says a student's ability to read proficiently impacts more than just school performance. Low literacy rates can exacerbate community poverty levels and contribute to larger economic issues.
If you're not reading by that grade level, the likelihood of graduating from high school decreases significantly. If you do not graduate from high school, then your earning potential goes down.
The study shows that nationally, the proficiency gap often starts as a result of early childhood health problems and exposure to family-related stressors, such as housing insecurity or parental job loss. But Garcia says those impacts can be mitigated through early intervention and early learning programs. For National Native News, I'm Carrie Young.
The Bolt decision turns 40 years old. In February 1974, federal judge George Bolt issued the historic ruling, reaffirming fishing rights of treaty tribes in western Washington. The decision allocated 50% of the annual catch to them. Their fishing rights were being displaced by non-natives. In the 1960s, Native people started fish-ins to reassert their rights, and a lengthy court battle led to the decision. Tribes held a celebration last week to mark the court victory, which included leaders and fishermen. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
Join us for Kiwanis' 2014 Alaska Native Art Auction, Thursday, February 20th in Anchorage, Alaska. Ticket and reservation information is available by going to nativeartauction.org. Proceeds benefit National Native News.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. It's Thursday, February 13th. And in the studio with me, I'm very lucky to have Deirdre Dar. She's the executive director of the Shrine of St. Therese and also a board member at the Shrine also. It's a nonprofit organization. Maria Yucatel, welcome to the station.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Of course. So you have a big fundraising effort coming up here at the Shrine. Can you tell us a little bit about, so you have an event, and then we'll kind of get into, well, why are we having this event?
Well, the event's actually going to be at the Baranoff Hotel next Friday on February 21st at 5:30 p.m., and it's going to be a Mardi Gras masquerade ball or gala, and no one can see my fun Mardi Gras mask on the radio, but you can.
I can, and I love it. Lots of feathers. I love Mardi Gras season. It's just a good time.
Yeah, so we're going to have a great time. It's a Cajun meal, a live jazz band, Fleet Street, are going to be playing.
They're fabulous.
Yeah. And what else? We have a
Mardi Gras ambiance. We have the mask that Deirdre's wearing today. We have beads. We'll have also silent auctions and outcry auctions for dessert. So it's going to be a very festive atmosphere for the Shrine.
Oh, fabulous. And so, you know, I haven't actually seen, I'm sure there's a lot of fundraisers for the Shrine, but I haven't seen one that's quite this big in my time. But, you know, I don't always pay attention to everything.
We've had galas before for the Shrine, but they haven't been quite at this magnitude. And the reason is because we're got a big task ahead of us. We're trying to upgrade the septic system out of the property, and that requires a lot of funds. So we figured it's a great time to have a Mardi Gras gala, and that hopefully will help us get the funds that we need for this remodel that we need.
That's a huge task.
Yes. Yeah. We have to raise about $25,000. To do what we need to do. We're getting two new pre-treatment tanks in for mainly the buildings that are kind of down at the main drive, the lodge, the post office, the public facilities. And then we're basically reconfiguring the septic farm. So I'm learning all about septic now that I've moved to Alaska. But, I mean, it's a big job, but it has to be done, and we want to stay you know, we want to be good stewards of the environment, and so we have to do what we need to do to stay within the environmental standards.
Of course. And, you know, so many people go to the shrine. I mean, even if they actually don't go to a service out there, they actually come out to visit. How many people, on average, do you think visit the shrine yearly?
Oh, yearly?
We or know even that, summerly.
Yeah, so we have a lot of visitor traffic in the summer from the tourism. So we have upwards of 1,000 visitors in the summertime out at the shrine. But there's also the community. The shrine is really a dear place for the community of Juneau. So that is year-round visits. And with the facilities that we have with the lodge and we have the cabins, and that maintains a lot of traffic at the shrine.
Ooh,
and
yeah,
it's the time to do this upgrade for the septic.
And it's kind of one of those things to think about in the community. If you're a person who has been to the shrine, which everybody takes people out there because the fish jump and you see whales and it's just amazing.
Yeah.
That if you've gone out there and and you don't pay anything, you go out there and you use the service, what a better way to actually attend this event, have a good time for one, and then also put some money into a service that you actually already use.
Yeah, that's the thing that has really struck me since I've moved here, is just how everyone in Juneau feels the shrine belongs to them, that it's not just this Catholic church out the road, but that it's this really precious, sacred space to so many people in Juneau, and that's an amazing thing to be part of.
So speaking of, you're a new executive director.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you come from, and how do you like it here? And
I'm originally from Chicago. We were living in northern Mississippi for 3 years before this, so we adore Juneau. It's the best place on the planet, and it's really a dream come true to be here. And when this job came open, I said to my husband, I'm like, what do you think? Should I apply? And we did. And I was just so blessed to be here. Juneau's an amazing place. The shrine's an amazing place.
Yeah.
We're very lucky to have Deidre. Her background is in retreats. And that's one of the things that we're looking forward in the future, is to have more retreats available for the entire community of Juneau out at the shrine. We've remodeled the lodge, and I don't know if you've been out there since it's been remodeled.
It's awesome.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of activities we've been having, and now hopefully we'll have retreats with more activity at the shrine.
Mm-hmm.
So that also ties in on why we need to upgrade the septic.
Right.
It's a chicken egg.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
We have people out there who want the septic to work. Yeah.
Right.
So what else is going on at the shrine these days?
Well, I'm getting some of the a retreat program started. So we had a busy mom's retreat last month, and in March, we're going to do an introduction to Ignatian spirituality, which is a particular type of Catholic spirituality. We have several concerts coming up this summer to help, again, toward the septic system. It's basically our year-long effort to get the money raised. So we'll be advertising those when the dates get closer. We're also planning a pilgrimage. The plan is to walk from St. Paul's out to the shrine, and that would be open to anybody. It wouldn't just be a Catholic thing. You know, anybody who loves the shrine can come on the walk. And I think those are the
ones. That's a calendar of events, if you will, that we have for this year.
Yeah,
it's a pretty busy one.
That is a pretty busy one. So that was my next question. Do you feel? I mean, is the shrine? I mean, it definitely is a Catholic place, a spiritual place, but like you said, it's kind of open to the community, and sometimes it's very non-denominational in that respect. Or and is that something that you want to say, yes, this is a place for worship and also a place for the community?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for those of us who are Catholic, it's a really special place, and just the history and how it came to be it has always been a community effort. Like, the more I find out about the shrine, it's not just being the Catholic community that has supported it. It's been everybody in Juneau, and that's why we're opening this the gala to everyone, because the shrine is so beloved throughout the community that we want everyone to feel welcome and to come there and to enjoy it and use our facilities.
Yeah. And so can we just round out those details one more time, just about, so what time do things kick off? Because this is next Friday. So it's not this Friday, but it's Friday the 21st,
mm-hmm.
and it's at the Baranoff. And what time do things get going?
5:30.
Mm-hmm. I love that. We're going right in. You can go right from work.
Exactly.
You can.
Yeah.
And we're going to have the masks available. So you could come right from work. You don't even have to worry about getting all gussied up, because
Because
you'd be
mask,
like this.
Yeah, you should see this mask. It's beautiful. I mean, it's not even one of those like cheapy ones. It's definitely very pretty.
Colorful, nice.
Yes. So it starts off at 5:30. What time? Music?
Yep, Fleet Street will be beginning at 5:30, and then dinner will be, we're going to have the silent auction open immediately. So dinner will be about 6:15, 6:30, and then Outcry dessert auction after that. And as the evening goes on, we'll be closing out portions of the silent auction.
Great. And how much are the tickets?
$100 a piece.
$100 a piece, and it's a fundraiser, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get a new septic system out at the Shrine, and of course we've used it, so let's put some money back in, yeah? And where can people get tickets?
They can call the Shrine office, which would be my office, and the number is 780-6112. Or you can email me at juno@live.com. or you can even go to our website, which is shrineofstthérèse.org, and just all those words spelled out. And there's a link on there with all the information as well.
Great. Shrineofstthérèse.org, all spelled out. Great place to get more information about this Mardi Gras masquerade gala. And who doesn't want to participate in some Mardi Gras fun? Great. Well, it sounds like you all have a really busy upcoming time in the next few months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess compared to what it used to be, it's quite busy. But since this is my first year here, I'm hitting the ground running. So.
Nice. You're leading the charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on air, and best of luck, and let's get those funds raised.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Oh, I love that brassy sound, and reminds me that Mardi Gras. Yes, right here, right around the corner. I would like to tell you that Capital Transit is implementing its winter route changes, so please be aware of that. You can get more information about that online or give Capital Transit a call at 789-6901. They may not be going to that place that they usually pick you up or drop you off, so check out that out for sure. And before we have our next guest, we're going to hear Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 13th of February, 2014. It's the birthday of the writer who said, "What you have not absorbed by the time you reach the age of 18, you will never absorb. It is finished. You'll be able to develop what you have absorbed. You'll be able to make something or nothing at all of it, but your time for absorption is over, and for the rest of your life, you will be branded by your childhood." The writer Georges Simenon, born in Liège, Belgium, 1903, one of the most prolific writers of all time, wrote more than 400 books, including his detective novels featuring Inspector Maigret. Published his first novel when he was just 17. He said, "I wanted to be not just myself, so young and insignificant, but all people, those of the land and of the sea, the blacksmith, the gardener, the bricklayer, and all those to be found on the different rungs of the social ladder." He wrote 10 pages every day, Georges Simenon, spy stories, detective thrillers, romance novels, and by the time he was 25, he was rich enough to have a chauffeur, and he owned a yacht. It's the birthday of the religious historian Elaine Pagels, born Palo Alto, California, 1943, who in 1972 joined a team of translators who were working on the Nag Hammadi Library, a collection of early Christian texts, the Gnostic Gospels, which showed a different interpretation of Christianity and which had been banned from the Bible. She wrote a book about them, the Gnostic Gospels. It was a big bestseller in 1979. She later studied the Gospel of Thomas and wrote a book about that, Beyond Belief, the Secret Gospel of Thomas, and more recently has written about the Book of Revelations, arguing that it is not prophecy, but a symbolic account of current events. Her book, Revelations, Visions, Prophecy, and Politics in the Book of Revelation, came out 2 years ago. And it's the birthday of one of the most famous pilots ever, Chuck Yeager, born Myra, West Virginia, in 1923, who, in 1947, piloting the Bell X-1 rocket-powered airplane at an altitude of 45,000 feet, became the first man to break the sound barrier. Here's a poem for today, an old English folk song, Who Killed Cock Robin? Who killed Cock Robin? I, said the sparrow, with my bow and arrow, I killed Cock Robin. Who saw him die? I, said the fly, with my little eye, I saw him die. Who caught his blood? I, said the fish, with my little dish, I caught his blood. Who will make the shroud? I, said the beetle, with my thread and needle, I'll make the shroud. Who will dig his grave? I, said the owl, with my pick and shovel, I'll dig his grave. Who will be the parson? I, said the rook, with my little book, I be the parson. Who will be the clerk? I, said the lark, if it's not in the dark, I'll be the clerk. Who will carry the link? I, said the linnet, I'll fetch it in a minute, I'll carry the link. Who will be chief mourner? I, said the dove, I mourn for my love, I'll be the chief mourner. Who will carry the coffin? I, said the kite, if it's not through the night, I'll carry the coffin. Who will bear the paw? We, said the wren, both the cock and the hen will bear the paw. Who will sing a psalm? I, said the thrush, as she sat on a bush, I'll sing a psalm. Who will toll the bell? I, said the bull, because I can pull, I'll toll the bell. All the birds of the air fell a-sighing and a-sobbing when they heard the bell toll for poor Cock Robin. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser, and we're really excited in the studio. I'm really excited. You can hardly tell how excited I am right now. I have the Young Dubliners with me. Oh, my goodness. And everything's happening all at once. That's how exciting it is.
Drum roll.
Play all, yeah, drum roll for you. Hi, guys. Welcome to the studio.
How are you?
Great.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So I'll just let you kind of introduce yourself first, and then I've got lots of questions for you. So we're going to start down here.
Start down here, over here.
Chaz. Over here.
Chaz. Chaz, excellent. Violin and keyboards and such.
Excellent.
Keith, vocals and acoustic.
Great.
Bob on electric guitar.
Bob on electric. Well, cool. Welcome to town here. And so I just have lots of questions. So how did you manage a world tour here?
Well, it's very strange. I know we've never been in Juneau before, but it seems like a beautiful place. We flew in yesterday, luckily, before all this weather got in.
I know. I'm glad you got into it. We were sweating it a little bit. I'm not going
to
lie.
We've been coming up to Alaska now for a good few years and mostly playing in Anchorage and Fairbanks. And word seems to be getting out a bit, and this tour we decided, instead of flying up and, you know, just doing a weekend and going back down again and coming back again for another weekend, which we've done for the last 2 years, we just stay up here. And so we looked around, and luckily Deb and the Rockwell were willing to bring us this way, so we're getting to spread our wings. Yeah, tremendous place. I mean,
hey, you know what? Your mic isn't picking you up. Do you mind jumping over to this one too, so that way we can get you? There we go. I know. I don't know what's going on there.
I'll share with you, Chazzy.
There. Oh, that's nice. They share. I'm sure they share a lot. So, what was the impetus in coming to Alaska to begin with? Like, how did that ever come about? Because as you said, it was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I remember the very first time we were offered the gig up here at the Beartooth in Anchorage.
Cool.
And, you know, it was just a shocker to us that we were coming up this far. You know, we didn't know anybody knew us, but there was a radio station in town that were playing us. And we came up and it was sold out, and I think we did a whole weekend, and we were in the paper. We were like, whoa. But I think up here you get a lot of people who are very interested in music in general, and it's not like everybody's coming up here. So I think that basically has meant that you get a lot of more enthusiasm maybe from the audiences than other places sometimes. So we did the same then the next time we went to Fairbanks, and that was the same again, just tremendous enthusiasm and everybody excited that you're there. And they seemed very grateful that you made the trip, you know, so that's about all we need.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not the cheapest place to travel to, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why we charge $10 million a show.
$10 million.
Wow, Deb, you're dropping some dough.
$10 million.
Yeah. You're back live there, Chaz, so you're good to go.
Oh, yeah. Over here?
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Back.
There you go. $20 million if it's two sets.
Yeah. Nice.
Just like the jam bands.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, there's not a whole lot to do up here in the winter time, so when we have fabulous bands come in, people are really, they get excited, you know? I mean, there's just...
Well, until that happens, you've got us. we'll keep the fire burning till those bands show up.
Well, we appreciate it. So this is actually kind of a precursor to an upcoming tour for you, correct?
Yeah. Where are we going?
Well, the tour's starting here.
Oh, sweet.
We're starting here now.
We're
hitting a bunch of spots here in Alaska.
So it's in support of this new album, yeah?
Yes. Right. Yep. Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about this new album coming out?
You're the first radio station to be handed the mastered real cover version.
It's still hot.
Yeah,
it is.
This is the first one that we ever did with that, the help of our fans, because up until now we've always, you know, let record companies rip us off, and we finally decided that it was time to take control of it. And you know, it was amazing the support we got, but we sort of did our own version of a Kickstarter idea that, you know, a lot of people are using now, where you pretty much, you ask people basically to buy the album in advance, and if they want to chip in a bit more, you create a few more incentives, such as, you know, T-shirts or whatever. And we got a great response right away, and we're able to make it on our own and didn't need anybody funding it, you know. So now we're basically, it took us a bit longer because we were touring nonstop as we did it, and writing and rewriting. And but I think in the end, we ended up with something that we were able to put a bit more time into than when you've got a record label telling you, you know, it has to be done
by
very often you're just not ready and you have to just rush it. So I think we're all pretty proud of this one.
Yeah,
so,
I think we're most proud of this record, you know, for that reason and a number of reasons, really. I think
I just think lyrically, melodically, everything we've reached a new level, and being on our own time, I think that helped us achieve it, you know.
Yeah. So this isn't. So how long has this group incarnation been together?
Last Tuesday, we all met up in Los. No, we. I mean, originally the band started around. The first albums were the early 90s, and Chaz was in the band then too. Bob wasn't yet, and we had a few years there and a couple of albums, and then a lot of the guys couldn't handle the touring. Two or three band members left, and we brought in Bob on guitar and Dave on drums, but that was, you know, two bands lifetimes ago. That's been almost 12 or 13 years now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny. I'd say a lot of our fans now don't even know anybody else in the band, but there's still a few who, you know, will remember. You know, some of the earlier stuff, but I think we kind of got it together by 2000. That's when we started to make sort of our sound gelled what we were trying to do all along, which was, you know, basically blend the two styles of you know, it's basically rock music, pop music with some Irish influence. It's never meant to be an Irish band, you know, that wasn't, we're just songwriters who use the instruments that we have at our disposal. So certain songs will sound a little more maybe Celtic, depending on how they were conceived, and other ones will sound more rock. But in the early days, we had a terrible sort of, it was almost a double-sided coin. You know, you'd have an Irish song, and then you'd have a pop song that would not sound anything like the Irish one. And we battled that in the early years to get the blend we were looking for. And then really, on an album called Real World, was when we sort of felt like we finally got our sound together. And
yeah,
that
so
was
now
that.
We use a juicer.
Yeah,
we're like a margarita.
Perfect, actually. Glacial margarita here.
Speaking of which, where is the greatest pajamas? What kind of a studio is this?
I know.
Is that why we're not drinking?
No, it's just the news studio. Two studios. No, I'm kidding.
Well, newsflash. There's no booze in here.
So we're going to play one of your songs here. It's called Rosie, and we'll be right back with the Young Dubliners.
Fire used to burn in your eye. Now tell me you haven't stopped dreaming. Now you still reach up for the sky. For this life is no bed of roses. It's not all it's cracked up to be. But in the end, it's always you and me. Roses, sweet roses, money. If I thought, but just one second,
And that was the Young Dubliners with Rosie. And speaking of Young Dubliners, if you're just tuning in, they're in the studio with me. So, hey, guys, welcome back.
Hello.
Hey. So, yeah, what, Rosie, you were just talking some stuff while we were off air. Can you tell the listeners about that last song we heard?
About my car tart?
I love that you call it a car tart. That makes me happy.
When I was sporting my jacket that I had no idea what it was, it was the warmest thing I could find, and now everybody's like, oh, it's a car tart. Rosie. That's on Saints and Sinners, which was our last original album. We did that after Sessions, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, because we did one cover album in our day, which was a tribute to the Irish ballads and old songwriters from ye days of old. And originally that was just going to be kind of a fun little thing for the merch table, and it became one of our best sellers.
It became a thing.
Yeah, so we now play a good few of those at the gig as well. But Saints and Sinners was then the sort of the follow-up to Real World.
Oh,
and
cool.
Now Nine is our latest one, which won't be out till March 4th unless you're at the gig. We did bring them up here because we want to get them in the hot little hands of the Alaskan folk.
The Alaskans love it. They eat it up.
It's a kind of a thin album thing, so you could. I'm pretty sure if you take the plastic off, you could skin something with it, which is handy up here too, right? You could use it,
It's a
survival. It's a survival.
Someone's
like a Swiss Army knife. The CD. Telling you, you could bring down a squirrel with that.
It's our Ulu album, is what it is.
A squirrel on its knees. Begging you, turn it off, I hate that stuff.
So we talked end of squirrel. We have like two here.
You got three in this room.
So we talked a little bit about before the break that this was your first, fully produced album just as a group. So no record label and anything. Right. And just about kind of that blend. That you're not quite just Celtic, you're not quite just rock, and sometimes you blend and sometimes you don't. Did you feel a lot of record label pressure as far as creating one sound, and was that part of the reason to go out on your own?
Well, yeah. Because as we said before, in the early years, we were struggling with not identity. I mean, we knew who we were, but just convincing the powers that be in the record industry to push us into some mainstream rock direction. And some folks would feel, oh, we were too Irish, and certain folks would feel that we were too rock to be, for example, playing on Irish festivals or something like that. So we were caught in the middle, whereas in recent years we've ironed that out a bit more. And
What's really helped, too, is the fact that the radio, back when we started, AAA radio was just really forming, and you had Dave Matthews breaking, and he had a fiddle, and that's where we felt we lay. We lay in mainstream radio. We just had a slightly different sound than the other bands, which you would imagine would have been a good thing. But then when radio kind of tightened up again, not you guys, of course, not K2, but it ended up where they want you to be in a box, and we could never really do that because we had.
Yeah.
And then there was a period there where we're a live band. We tour about 150, 180 days a year. So that's how we got the word out between, Europe and here. It was just a play, play, play. And now with the likes of Pandora and how things have changed now where, somebody can like a band and all of a sudden it throws out all the other bands at them that might be similar. That's helped us a lot because it's brought a listenership that may never have heard of us because we don't get that sort of mainstream media coverage. But which is, and so many bands came up along with us that ended up opening for us and going on to greatness and then disappearing completely after one single. Mm-hmm. And we saw that happen. Like, I won't mention any names because they're probably still playing. But, we saw them rocket to success with a single, have it played to death, and then the radio would drop them.
And with no fan base, really, initially.
Exactly. So, in other words, they weren't ready for it, and now we meet them, as a... they're sort of like coming out of a coffee shop or something with their guitars, and we're like, whoa, what happened, man? And we're like, look, you should have been like us and never had a big hit. That's the way to go.
The music machine does that. It creates stars, but like Chaz says, sometimes it's too early and
we create
don't have a fan base.
Yeah. Well, it's all about lasting power, staying power, right?
Yeah.
Well, consequently, with our sort of blend going on, You know, we've even been approached and we've done festivals with, you know, some of the quote-unquote jam bands now, you know. And we've been approached by them after they see us play. And they go, man, why don't you guys get on the, you know, Bonnaroo and jam band circuit, you know. Because we fit, you know, we fit so many things, you know.
Yeah, we've literally opened for, you know, from Jethro Tull all the way up to Flamin' Lips. You know, we've had gigs with Collective Soul. We've got our Johnny Lang. Like, the good thing is that what we do seems to be wide demographic and wide acceptance by Americans in general, seem to dig the sound. So it's meant that we've been able to slip into different genres and still hold our own.
Yeah, people recognize the folk element of it, and it seems to draw them in, whereas people also like the rock part, too, as a mainstream sort of source.
Yeah.
Right, so it can appease to all.
And, you know, you can arrive home slightly more inebriated than usual, and nobody will give you a hard time when you say you went to see us.
Because it's Irish, yeah.
Yeah, they're like,
it has the culture.
It's not my fault. I went to see the Young Dubliners. Yeah. Oh, you're all right then.
Somehow
sleep
that's just not a problem in Alaska.
I always fear that about Alaska. It's like, I feel like, do you remember that, was it Blind Melon where the little bumblebee girl came over the hill and saw the other bumblebees?
Yeah.
I feel a little bit like that up here. When I see everybody, I hear the stories of the drinking and the revelry, and I go, I'm the bumblebees, come on.
That's what I'm going to do when I see you next. I'm just going to buzz all around.
Yeah, I'll be buzzing you first.
So let's talk a little bit about the shows, because they're happening. You're here for a reason. They're happening tonight and tomorrow night at the Rockwell Ballroom upstairs.
Yep.
And what time are you all headed on? And you have an opener, I think, too. Yeah,
yeah, we've got a couple of openers. Mm-hmm.
I think everything starts. I think doors are 7:30.
Yeah.
Everything starts somewhere around then.
We'll be on by 10, 9:30?
9:45.
But 9:45-ish. It's Irish music. We go on-ish. We could be on 9:30-ish.
It's the Alaska time, too. Irish and Alaska, I'm seeing a lot of similarities.
That's why we do so well out there.
Yeah. What's the cost of the event?
Do we know?
$25 at the door.
Priceless. You can't really put it. I mean, you will pay
every penny.
You'll pay something at the door, but you'll owe us more by the end of it.
Bring your plastic.
And I think King Volcano is opening.
And who else? Cousin Curtis.
And who?
Cousin Curtis.
Cousin Curtis.
Cousin Curtis, yeah.
Cool.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, whose cousin is that, by the way?
I know.
Not mine.
because local folky. He's good. I heard him.
Yeah. Cool. Bob, actually, you sent that YouTube thing around about.
Yeah, a fan of ours from Fairbanks recommended him, so.
And we love that because that's what it's all, for us it's all about hopefully being a part of a show where everybody goes, wow, it was good from the beginning onwards, you know, and you want to have a taste of the local scene with you, you know, because we're not exactly local lads, as we discovered on the trip up here yesterday when we were on 500 airplanes, landed in 500 villages on runways about 10 feet long.
Yeah, like a city bus with wings.
Oh, you must have landed in Sitka.
Bingo! It was
that's
great.
That's a scary landing.
Well, you love it. The first time, you're like, oh, it's amazing. The second, you're
Six
like,
Flags.
You're slamming those brakes the second they land.
Yeah. And I was like, water, boom, land. Oh, my.
I love it. Well, thanks so much, guys, for stopping by the studio. Check them out tonight and tomorrow night at the Rockwell Ballroom upstairs, and that venue is always cool to see bands. They've got it going on up there. So check that out, and we're actually going to go out here with the first track on 9, which is their 9th studio album release, and the Young Dubliners. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The station. I call you songs of love and emigration. Wave goodbye if you were so well. We're stepping to the great unknown. You'll miss the crack, but there's no turning back. When you get there, you won't be alone. Let's go. Shambles and there'll be no fully clothed. It's just a party and we're only getting started. We'll fix the lonely. situation. We work so hard, if we can get a job, we know that when the day is done, the race has led to the future and the past, we'll see you to the morning sun. So light on, light on. Call them up, tell them we're all gonna know us. There'll be no shadows, there'll be no holy clothes. It's just a party and we're all again started. We'll fix your lonely and we'll fix your broken heart.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It is Thursday, February 13th, and that was the Young Dubliners. You can check them out tonight and tomorrow night at the Rockwell. And speaking of awesome things that happen in Juno, welcome our next guest, Darren Snyder, to the studio. Hi.
Thanks, Shauna.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
Yep.
And you're actually here to talk about a Master Gardener class that's happening, and this is part of the UAF Cooperative Extension Service.
Yes, indeed, it is.
Yeah.
It might not be quite as exciting as these Young Dubliners, but, you know, we do our best.
It actually is. I'm a geek about gardening, so I'll geek out about it.
Good. Excellent. Yeah. So there are lots of people here in Juneau and Alaska who do love the gardening and love to just try and figure out what grows and do their best to do it. And so.
Because it's not one of the easiest tasks in the world.
No. In fact, we, as you'll notice on the schedule, we just, in fact, had our first session, our first class of this series last night, but I'm here today because we do have some more space. We've ended up with quite a few students in there, 16, 17 or so right now, so we could fit a couple more. And so if you're interested, if you're out there, we definitely have some more space, and just speaking of the challenges, there are a lot of folks in that class who have even decades of experience, but you know, everybody's always trying to do a little bit better with their growing.
So what can people who want to sign up for the course, what can they expect to learn and get help with here?
Well, part of it is just some camaraderie and working with a group of folks. This class itself, you know, we will have, you know, close to 20 folks, and we'll be meeting about 12 or 13 times, and just building a little bit of a rapport with each other and discussing gardening, what's working, what's not. I don't know if you've heard of a SWOT analysis, the strengths, the weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Well, we're doing that, you know, in a way of kind of looking at what works in Alaska, you know, as far as what to expect for somebody in the class, besides kind of building this community within the class, is participating with the other master gardeners who have already gone through the program and are doing awesome projects in Juneau and other places in Southeast, and having the opportunity to step into that and help become part of the cadre of folks doing awesome master gardener projects throughout the community.
That's great. And so as far the University of Alaska Fairbanks Cooperative Extension Service.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
I love it, though. Can you kind of talk about, I know lots of people know because you've been doing, I mean, you yourself have been doing this work for quite a while, and mm-hmm. it's just very cool. But for people who don't know, can you kind of give us an overview of what are you all actually doing in Juneau?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it is a little bit confusing because we are based out of UAF, but that's just because it's kind of our home port as far as the land grant university.
And they can grow lots of stuff up there, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that helps too. It started out as a college of mines and agriculture back in the early 1900s. And mm-hmm. so all the other campuses have kind of built off of that. But the Extension Service was established 100 years ago as part of the Smith-Lever Act in order to bring the university to the people and to outreach into communities and provide service that's beyond just a degree-seeking teaching and basic research. But it's like to benefit the community. You know, the call was, you know, get out of your ivory towers, make use of this research that you're doing and bring it to the people. And so that's my job, is to go out into the community, bring information from the university to the community, but also to engage with the community and find out what the needs are and meet those needs with university resources and assets.
That's amazing. So isn't a part of the garden, so all of our gardens around town that are pea patches, I guess, community gardens, is that all UAF and that's all stuff that you've been leading? Yeah.
Well, I will not take full credit by any means. My predecessors with Extension, Jim Douglas, Wayne Vandry, and others, have been working in these communities for years and years, and then the Master Gardeners themselves, and people who have chosen not to go through the Master Gardener program as well. It's just there's been an excellent community of gardeners and growers in Juneau who have helped to establish, you know, back in the early 90s, the main Montana Creek Community Garden, and then just in these recent years, I definitely have been involved with, you know, like the Douglas Community Garden and others to help them get going and just to provide more opportunity. And you know, and just a little bit more on the class, there are many different topics, and you know, our different flyers and online you can kind of see the different topics, but we try and cover in some detail the nuts and bolts of each different topic within the gardening efforts. So you're talking about soils, you're talking about just what nutrients do plants need, how can you best have your best effort forward to actually have a harvest at the end of all your efforts. You know, what are the techniques that have been proven here in Southeast? What are the varieties that you can use? What is the timing for doing everything? And so that's the kind of stuff that we teach folks in the Master Gardener class.
So the word master, I have to say, I mean, I personally am like a master of very none. I'm a master of nothing, actually. And I wonder, is it something that if a person definitely has the drive and the interest, can they get involved in the class even though they're maybe a little green?
Yeah, nice. There are many newbies to gardening out there, and what we do try to attract folks who, with this class, who do have some degree of experience of and have challenged themselves in growing in Alaska specifically for at least a season.
Got
and then we build on those skills. So I do offer every other year a beginner gardener class, and with more requests, I can also do other particular interests. If there's just a beginner vegetable class or a vegetable growers class or whatever, people should just contact me and let me know what your interests are. This is specifically advanced training for gardeners who do have some experience, but it's also a volunteer development program where we do ask these gardeners who have some experience on their own, plus this added skill base, thanks to the class, hands-on workshops and such, to give back to the community and to then provide service through either information, informational booths, or provide projects, or do the garden tours, mm-hmm. or the plant sales, or whatever else to serve the public.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
If people are wanting to get into this master class, where can they contact you?
Our office number is 7-2-2-1.
Okay.
6221, 7-2-2-1. And you can get a hold of Susie and she will sign you up.
She'll hook you up.
Yeah, exactly.
And is there a place where you can get information online?
Yes. And so if you just Google UAF Cooperative Extension Juneau District, you can get into there. Just Cooperative Extension Service, Alaska, Juneau. You know, just kind of dial it in. It's through Google. You can find it.
Cool.
Find us.
Darren, thank you so much.
Sure.
And what a great opportunity for those who want to grow here.
Yeah. Thank you, Shona.
Yeah. And we will be right back with Ms. Nancy DeCherney. But first, here's a little Modest Mouse.
Well, I'll turn on.
welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It is Thursday, February 13th, one day until that fine day of love. Although, shouldn't we just love everybody all the time? Speaking of love, here's Nancy DeCherney in the studio with Arsup. Hi.
Hey, we're going to have to do selected shorts this time.
Selected shorts.
Okay, so are you ready?
I'm ready. Go.
Okay. Well, things that are happening, the Banff Mountain Film Festival is this weekend. That's over at Centennial Hall. And also, Goldtown has the Oscar shorts.
Awesome.
I told you we'd be selected shorts. Friday is Valentine's Day, and they're doing special things up at Eagle Crest. Bring a friend, and you get $10 off a lift ticket. There's One Billion Rising, all things happening all over town for that. There's an after-school art class at the art department. The Montessori School is having a Valentine's Day beer and wine tasting fundraiser at the Hangar. There is a sold-out dinner, so I'm not going to mention it. There is a fireside lecture on Chinook salmon at the Mendenhall Glacier. That's at 6:30 and 8 on Friday. There's a bunch of planetarium things going on with an astronomer. Never mind. Okay, then. The Audubon Society is having an evening of marine mammals from Southeast Alaska. That's at Thunder Mountain. I think Riley Woodford's doing that.
Cool.
We have, For the Love of Dance, benefits Dance Machine International School Outreach Program. That's at the Jack at 8 o'clock on Friday night. And we were just talking with the Young Dubliners. There's Romeo and Juliet live from Broadway at Goldtown at 9 p.m.
I really want to see that.
Yeah, it looked really good. And then there's Scorcher at the Alaskan on Friday night. On Saturday, there is How to Photograph the Alaskan Night Sky over at the Murray Drake Planetarium. Coffee and Collections has Wayne Jensen on the history of the Alaska capital. You know, they've been doing a lot of renovations over there. So that's at 10:30 in the morning. Always good coffee and some snacks and some interesting stuff. There's an obstacle course at Saga's Eagle Valley Center. There's a polar plunge. Now, why would you do that?
You know, it's the university sponsoring it,
yeah,
so they're young.
They
can
learn
handle
some
it.
Stuff, huh? The Church of Holy Trinity's Cream Tea is happening. It's a fundraiser for McPheeters Hall. There is comic drawing at Alaska Robotics in the afternoon. There is winter fireworks up at the Eagle Crest, skiing, music, and bonfire, and more. That's at 4 p.m. on Saturday.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, and then Goldtown has the not-so-silent film series. They're doing The General with Rumblefish.
You know, I saw the last one, and it was packed, and it was the coolest thing I had seen in a long time.
So there you go. You can see it twice, Saturday at 4 and at 9. On Saturday at 6 p.m., it's the 26th Annual Girl Scout of Alaska auction to support Girl Scouts. Taste of Ethiopia, a fundraising dinner up at St. Anne's Parish Hall. A sad singles dinner at the Rookery. You needed hot dogs and macaroni and cheese. That's what you should have. At 7 p.m., it's the Juno String Ensemble's annual chamber music night at Northern Light Church. Let's see, there's Roller Girls Skate to the Heart at Centennial Hall on Saturday.
Ooh, I get that pun. Give it to me, skate to the heart. I love it.
She got it.
It took me about seven times reading it, but I just
got it. Okay, now she got it. And they're doing the Oscar shorts again. Let's see, Country Club, the UAS Drama Club is doing some, is it like, reading, play reading?
No, they're doing a full-on production.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, it's the Country Club. Sunday is Elizabeth Paradovich Day, and the weekly ukulele jam has moved to TK McGuire's, and it's at noon. So you can go there. Again, they have the Romeo and Juliet on Sunday. Music on the Fly is happening at 6:45 out at the airport. It's the Alaska Youth Choir playing music for people coming and going.
Oh, cool.
We have got, let's see, Monday is a holiday, woohoo! And our gospel thing starts. So if you want to get involved in the gospel choir,
that starts next week.
That starts next Monday.
Y'all over at the Jack, you just go.
We don't take a break.
No.
Well, you don't either. So it's all right. So there's plenty of things. And if you need to get more details, like on Wednesdays have been the Native Issues forums over there. Very interesting topics. They serve lunch and it's great. Go to the jahc.org website or to the ktoo.org website. Get more info.
Yeah, you get more information. They've combined the calendar, so it's just a very cool thing.
Okay. I'm looking at the clock. Are we good?
We're good. Thank you so much, Nancy DeCherty, from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council with Arts Up. And she's here every Thursday talking about all the amazing things that happen. And a really cool article today, actually, in the Empire about Jenna Gonzalez-Smith, one of the winners of the Wearable Arts. So check that out, too. And... this is KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Ok Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201AM Gustavus in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Tune in tomorrow at 3 p.m. for a Juno afternoon. Thanks for tuning in on this fine Thursday, and have a lovely evening. And here's the news.
It was amazing watching Charlotte on national TV. You would have thought the whole city was in gridlock, but that certainly was not the case.
But the storm did bring the most snow Charlotte, North Carolina has seen in more than a decade.
For Thursday, February 13th, this is All Things Considered.
I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Coming up, the impact of the snow and ice storm. We'll hear from North and South Carolina.
The storm led to the cancellation of thousands.